Well, we greet each one also in Jesus' name this morning. I trust that God has blessed your heart already. He surely has mine. I was thrilled with Brother Dave's message and humbled by it. I don't have that kind of fear of God. But I know that if we had that kind of fear, we would be a dynamic people on the earth. I know it. I desire it. I've chosen a little bit unusual or different type of message this morning. More of an informative message. Knowing that this evening, Lord willing, we'll be here again. And the Lord can inspire us and revive us and stir our hearts. But this morning I have had a burden for many months to bring this message, and I felt the Lord's leading to bring it this morning. The name of my message is a little unusual. As I found out by talking to people, that it's an unusual title. The name of the message is To the Parents of the Last Child. That's the title of the message. A message to the parents of the last child. Now, if you'll think about that for a little bit, you'll realize that means all of us sometime. But maybe not all of us right now, but all of us sometime will be the parents of the last child. In other words, we will have had our last child. And pretty much we'll have that mentality in our mind that this is our last child. We'll be getting older and realizing that, well, this could be our last child, and the mentality that comes upon parents when they realize, well, this is probably the last child. That's the title of the message. The burden of the message was formed over several years, as I just observe. It seems like God has put something in my heart about the home, and I'm always observing wherever I go, taking in new input to meditate upon it and filter it through the principles of God's Word. And this is one that I've observed a lot. Through the last several years, I've met several grown adults who were the last child. And I noted something unusual about them. Not all of them, but more times than not. And maybe you're a last child here. I don't know of anybody. I don't know anybody here that's the last child, so I'm not zeroing you out. But I've noticed upon many occasion an extra amount of lack in many of those that I met who were the last child. And the first time I noticed it, I didn't understand. I just pondered it. Well, here's a last child, and there seems to be some extra needs here. There seems to be some lacks here that aren't in the rest of the children. And that's how the whole thing began. It was just a seed like that was planted in my heart, and I began to meditate on it. And of course, when you get around a lot, you meet lots of people, you meet lots of different kinds of people, and you get in lots of homes. And upon many occasions, I would find myself in a home where there was a last child, or it was pretty sure in all of our hearts that here was a last child. He may have been 8 or 9 years old, and there were no children born after he or she. And it was very evident as I was in the home that there were some specific needs in this child's life. And I began to wonder, now, is this a coincidence, or are there really some needs here? Because it's a last child, and if there's some blind spots and some needs in this child's life, just because it's the last child, why, that's worthy to meditate on. Because
who wants to send any child out into life unprepared? And if I may say it this way, I have met some social misfits who were last childs, who just didn't fit. I have met some. And then also, because I've watched little children, and I've watched mistakes being made with little children that I just knew weren't being made, that weren't made with all the other children. Little mistakes. All those things working together inspired the message. You know, when you go into a home and the home has 10, 9 or 10 children and they're all at home and you note that they're all in order but this last one over here, that makes you notice. It makes it stand out. When you notice that all the children seem to be well balanced, having direction, purpose, obedience, and we could list a number of qualities, but then this last one over here, it's just not quite that way. You note it. The reason for the message. Well, I know there are some among us here who have their last child. Or pretty well we know that they've had their last child. And all of us will someday have our last child. The scope of the message, as you'll see a little later, it's this way. Now, no talking now. You look up here. The scope of the message would reach out to every one of us. This message is to the children who have a last child in their house. And this message is to the parents who have a last child in their house. And this message is to the children who are the last child in their house. If you should happen to know that, all these areas are touched by this little simple message. I don't plan to give a message today. I plan for someone else to give it, and you'll understand in a minute. But I thought that we should read a few verses in Proverbs, and I'd like to split them in two on purpose. And we'll read first through a small section of verses which are called the blessings, and then a small section of verses which are called the curses. And you'll understand as we go. First of all, the blessings. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Ah, the book of Proverbs. So much wisdom. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1a. Only the first half of the verse. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father. Period. You can count on that. You children want to make your parents happy? Be wise. You'll make them glad. Proverbs 23, verse 24. Verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. These are the blessings. Proverbs 29. And these are promises, I believe, from God, that if we guide our children the right way, and set our hearts to diligently raise them for Him, and then that they raise up with wisdom in their heart, they'll make us happy. Both now and in our old age, they'll make us happy. They'll be a blessing to us. When we see them coming, it'll be a joy that floods our heart. Proverbs 29:17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Those are the blessings. Now the cursings. Proverbs chapter 10 again. Back to 10, verse 1, and the last part of the verse. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother.
Proverbs 17. Just a couple of verses by way of introduction. Proverbs 17, verse 21.
He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy.
No joy. Proverbs 29:15.
The rod and reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So I read these verses just so that we could look at the blessings and look at the cursings and realize that they will happen. If we neglect our children, any of our children, it'll bring a burden to us. It'll be sadness to us. It'll be sorrow to us. And if we'll diligently raise them up, it'll be a joy to us. It's a blessing from God and a promise that if we'll do that, they'll bring sweet joy to our heart. So, now I say that I don't plan to preach this message. I plan for someone else to preach it. I didn't feel like I had enough insight on my own to bring the message, but I knew the message needed to be brought for all of us. So I started gathering the wisdom of others, and I thought I'd share it with you this morning. I contacted 11 different families who have children, many children, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 11, 12, 8, 11 different families who have a whole lot of children. 11 different families who have had their last child. And I asked them this question. I said, I have a burden to bring a message to the congregation here. The title of the message is To the Parents of the Last Child. And I wonder, you've had your last child. You've raised all your children. Could you give us some insights and some wisdom? Could you help us to see some of the blind spots that maybe we don't see? Because there's lots of us that have not had our last child yet. And there's lots of us among us that already have had their last child. Could you give us the wisdom that you've learned by raising your last child? That's the question that I asked. Sometimes I talk to the father. Sometimes I talk to the mother. Sometimes they shared insights that their children shared with them. I talked with one bishop, and I talked to a deacon. I talked to successful fathers and mothers, and I talked to those who considered themselves a failure and admitted it on the telephone. So, we're going to this morning glean from a wide range of people who all have large families, who have had their last child. And it's very interesting. As you'll see, it's very interesting. Just like clockwork, the patterns came back from every one of them. Here's one of the weaknesses. Another one. Yeah, here's one of the weaknesses. And I started marking them down. Sure enough, same one. Yeah, he said this. She said the same thing. This brother over here said it. The man down there, he said the same thing. And I categorized them into 8 points. And I'd like to share them with you. And I'll share them by their words, not by mine. The words that they spake to me, I'll give them to you. You don't know who these people are, but I assure you, they're worthy that we take some counsel from them. To the parents of the last child. Sir, what are some of the blind spots that you noticed when you were raising that last child? What are some things that we need to be watching for so that we don't make the mistakes that maybe you made? Here was the first area. Eleven out of 11 gave this one. Discipline is easy to put off with the last child. We get lack in discipline with the last child. Well, I found that we tend to not make them give up their will because they're the last child. Discipline tends to be weak with our last child. It was harder to be strict with the last child. They get away with more than we let the others get away with. We were weak on discipline. We allowed them to whine and fuss, and we would have never allowed the others to do that. We were too lenient with the last one. We tend to give them what they wanted. There's quite a bit of wisdom there in those statements. Not one, not two, not just one, two, or three, but every single one of them said, this was probably, and I put it first because of that, discipline is the biggest problem with the last child. We just don't discipline the last child. There's something inside us that doesn't want to discipline the last child. The last child needs a spanking and we don't spank them. The last child needs a good old will breaking and we don't break their will. The last child wants what they want and we give it to them. We just lacked in discipline with the last child. Now you think about it. Let's take all of that and put it out there with the first child. God forbid, we would have never thought of it. If it were our first child, we never would have done it. If it were our first child and we were reading this list, we would be abhorred by it. We would think, oh no, don't put it off. Don't put off the discipline. Don't give them their own way. Don't let them get away with having their own will. Don't be easy on them. Be strict. Don't let them get away with it. Bring them under accountability. We would have said amen to that list right down the line. And I may say, every one of us here that has had even one child, those are the things that rose up in our heart as the first child was born, as the first child was still in the womb. The thoughts came, the meditations came. We're going to raise our children right. We're not going to let them get away with this. We're going to guide them the right way. We're going to give them the instruction they need. We're going to give them spankings. I know it'll be hard, but we're going to spank them. And we gear ourselves up by God's grace to set out that way when that first child came. But in every one of these cases, on the last child, we were weak on discipline. We just kind of overlooked it and let it go. And let me ask you this question. What happens to a child that is raised that way? What happens to one that is raised that way? No discipline. Have your own way. Get what you want. Cry and get it. Not too many spankings. What happens to a child that is raised that way? Here's another one. And it'd be good just to have just a little word. Number one, discipline. Number two, middle age. What's one of the problems that you have with the last child? Well, on the last child, we're getting up there. We're getting up there in middle age. Here are the words out of the mouth of brothers and sisters. The older I get, the weaker I get. The older I get, the more I tend to lack the inner character to do what is right. With my first children, we did it. I mean, we had grit. I mean, it was no fun to spank that first little baby. But we did it. But now with the last one, that is, we just don't have it. It's just not the inner character, the stability, the backbone, the grit to do what needs to be done. And you know that's so. You know that you have to force yourself every time you spank a child. And these older brothers say that with the last child, you get up there in your middle years, you just don't have the character, the inner discipline to do what needs to be done. And it's hard to spank them now, and it's hard to spank them then. It's always hard to spank them. It takes divine strength on the inside to discipline children. And middle age starts to wane that strength. It shouldn't. And I heard one man say those words too. It shouldn't, but it did. Another man said, well, middle age can be a weaker age. Sort of have a slump in life there in the middle years. Another man said, the older I get, the milder I am. And that's not all bad. But if it's all there, if it's all that's there, it's not good. The older I get, the milder I get. Here are my thoughts. And by the way, most of them inferred this point, but not all of them spoke the clear words. Some of them spoke the clear words. There is a natural weakening with middle age. There is. Your body starts slowing down. You get tired easier. And you put all those things together, and it takes more, and I say this the right way, strength from God working from the inside out in order to carry out those things. When the body is slowing down a little, and you've been doing the same thing now, and you've had 8 children or 7 children or 6 of them, and here's one more, and you've been down through the line with all of them, and maybe the whole thing is getting old, and life is slowing down for you, but wait a minute! Wait a minute! You're still the parents of the last child! Even though you're slowing down, even though you're weakening up, you're still the parent of the last child! And one brother gave me this admonition, and I believe it was the bishop that I spoke to. He admonished us to powerful, spirit-filled lives was the only answer that he could give to the parents of the last child who are there in those middle years. And things are slowing down. I'm not taking away from that. It does. There is a slump in life when you get up there a little more in years, and your discernment may not be just what it used to be, and you may not have the strength you used to have, but you can have all the strength you used to have in God. All you used to have. And we need it. I was reminded of the other day of something that one of the children did, and God pricked my heart and said, I gave you strength there. You couldn't have done that. Do you realize you let that go 2 times already? And I just humbled myself before God. And I said, God, you're right. I can't do it. Like David said, I don't have it. I've got to have you with me. I've got to help you. Have you help me? Give me discernment. Quicken my inner heart that says, that's got to be dealt with. And you have to make yourself do it. It's just never fun. It's just never fun. So the one brother's admonition was that he admonishes us to power spirit-filled lives to work against these natural tendencies of middle age. Why? Because you're the parent of the last child, and that child is going to grow up and it has to face life anyway. Whether you're in middle age or not, it still has to face life. And it deserves the same opportunities that the first and second and third got. So middle age was the second one. Third one. And this was a very consistent one from many. A loss of authority. They recognized a clear loss of authority in that last child. Hear their words. The older children in the house begin to correct. And it causes a division of authority, which is a breakdown in authority. Whenever you divide authority, you break it down. The older children begin to correct, and that causes a division of authority, and then there's a loss of authority. And by the way, I'm not picking on you older children. These are the very words that came out of the mouths of those parents who in their homes have older children also. Here's another. the older children disagree on our discipline, and the younger children sense it and lean their way. And that makes a loss of authority. A loss of authority. Older children oftentimes mean more to the parents, mean more to the little child than the parents do. And that makes a loss of authority. Because God hath placed you, brethren, and you, sisters, as the authority over those children. And if you're not first place, and some other child in the house is, you've lost some authority. There's no way you can get away from it. Here's another. The last child tends to run to the other children for pity when they've done wrong. You ever see that? And here's the tendency of the other children, and I know they do it ignorantly. That's why we need to be aware of it. It's a perfect opportunity for them to love and comfort the child, which is something that they like to do. But that's not the right time to love and comfort a child. When Papa or Mama has disciplined that youngest child, that's not time for the other children to say, "Oh, you poor little boy. Did you get a spanking?" That's not time to do that. It's time for every member of the family to stand with Mom and Dad so that that little one sees a clear picture of authority. I did wrong. Everyone feels I did wrong. God feels I'm wrong. The children feel I'm wrong. Mom and Dad feel I'm wrong. I'm wrong. None of that other stuff. It's a division of authority, and it hinders. Here's another one. We found that discipline must be by the parents. Here's another one. And some of these are repetitive, but I'm just giving you the words that were given. They didn't know that someone else had already said it. There is an authority breakdown because of our older children. And here's the last one. We lost authority because we left the little children with the older children too much. And when you leave the little children with the older children too much, then the older children have to take some authority because things happen and you just can't let everything go. And if you do that too much, then the older children are taking the authority too much and you have a division of authority again. And you don't want that. You want as much clear vision of authority that your first child had. You want your last child to have the same amount. And you think about that. You meditate on the first one. How much a vision of authority they had. It was so clear. I mean, that was it. It was you and them. That was all. And when you said go, there was nowhere for them to turn. There was no one else to direct them. There was no one to comfort them. There was no one to pity them. And it's not an accident that oft times the firstborn child is the strength of the home. There's some wisdom in that. There's some wisdom in that. Clear directions of authority. That first child responded so rightly because there was nothing else to do. I admonish all of us. I admonish you to gather your family together. And you teach the family. When Junior gets a spanking, or when Junior gets a correction, when Junior's put in the corner, don't you comfort him. We want to keep those lines just as clear with the first as with the last. So my admonition is this. Don't shift the oversight responsibility onto the other children. Now there are things you can shift their way, but it's not oversight. I believe that God gave you, mother and fathers, that last child. He gave it to you. And you have the oversight of it. And you're responsible for the spiritual direction of it and the discipline of it, the guidance of it. Number four. In the area of responsibility, hear their words. The younger children, they don't get the responsibility that the older ones did. It's easier to let the older ones do it. So the younger ones don't get the responsibility. She's still playing because we got a 15-year-old man. She knows how to do it. And the 14-year-old boy, he's out in the field and he's working in the shop and he's handling it all. That little one down there, that last one, he's still playing. When the other ones, we were gnawing at the bit to work, to learn, to take their place. Here's another. We don't shift the responsibility like we should over to the younger ones. We expect so little of them, the older, carried the load. Because the old one carried the load, we just didn't expect as much. No, I'm sorry, that's not the way it was. We expect so little of them. That's one point. And then there was another point to follow. When the older ones were little, they carried the load. That's the way it was. When the older ones were little, they carried the load. They were learning how to cook, and they were learning how to sew, and they were learning how to work, and they were learning how to hoe in the garden, and they were learning how to haul the wood, and they were learning all those things when they were little, and they carried a load. But now, these little ones, we expect too little of them. We expect too little of them. And sometimes I think the problem is that maybe we didn't do it with the first ones on purpose, but just the necessity made the load fall on them. But if that's so, then we need to realize our weak spot there. And that we need to put those responsibilities on our children on purpose. Not because it's a necessity to get the stuff done, but because they need to learn to do the things. So maybe we had a wrong vision the first time, and we were just loaded down with too many children, so some of the load fell on this one, and some of it fell on this one. And you were blessed if it did fall on you. But there's a better way than that, and that is to put the load on there on purpose. With the first one, and the second one, and the tenth one, and the 11th one. So they all learn to carry the load. Because it's a load when you get grown up. It's a load. They need to learn to carry the load. And another one. The older children do it, and the younger children don't learn. The older children just kind of jump in, you know, because they do know how to do it. They jump in, and then the younger children, they don't learn. So, the admonitions are all over the room today. Don't jump in so quick. Let him slice his toe with a hoe once. I know he's not hoeing right. I know it's this way and then it's that way. Let him slice his toe. You sliced yours, or something like it. Don't pick the hoe up so quick and say, here, let me do that. No, let him get in there. Let him work. Let him break a dish. But we tend to look on and we see that a dish is about to be broken. We grab the dish and move them over and say, here, let me do that. Oh no, you broke a dish. Let them break a dish. Number five. Oh, I left one thing undone. If you can get this, this is a little bit of a tongue twister or a mind twister. Use your household to build your children. Don't use your children to build your household. You see the difference? You use your household to build your children. Here we have this house, and we have all these things that need to get done. We have all these wonderful opportunities to train our children in all the things they need to learn. That's one way to look at it. And the other way is, I've got all these children, and I can get all this work done. There's a different vision there. Because then once you get enough of them up there, that all the work's getting done, then you let those other ones sit down there and play. And they play. And then they're five and they play. And they're six and they play some more. And they're seven and they play some more. And pretty soon they grow up and they didn't get it. Use your household as beautiful tools to train your children. Number five, past failures. And this was not given by all, because many that I spoke to, I would feel that they were relatively successful in raising that last child. But some of them were an utter failure. Here's a real word of wisdom here. They found that their past failure hindered them from raising their last child, and here's why. There is a grain of confidence that came as we realized that we didn't do everything right. Failure made me not sure of myself. Mistakes caused me, the mistakes that I made on the other ones caused me to hold back on the last one. Now, all of that at first glance may seem real wise, because we do need to be careful because of our mistakes. But if we stay in limbo, do you know what limbo is? Not over here or not over here, just kind of in the middle, because we don't know what to do, then what will happen to the child? Nothing. I learned this as I was listening. Those parents, like all parents, started out with all the zeal and faith in God's Word that it would work the way that God said it would. But everything didn't all work out according to their wonderful dreams, and it won't for any of us. Not completely. And when they saw that there were failures, they began to back up and wonder if they'd done right or not. And that's good, to back up and look at our mistakes and say, now something didn't go right here, what didn't we do right? That's good to do that. As long as we follow that evaluation out to a new assumption and a clear direction. But I found that these parents backed away from because of their failure and didn't do anything. I'm not sure what worked. So because I'm not sure what works, I don't know what to do. And you know how time is. One day turns into a week into a month, and months into years. And before you know it, you're still not sure what to do. And you just keep putting it off, and you wonder what you should do. And before you know it, the child's been grown. And it's gone. My admonition is this. If you have failed, and you sense that reservation in your heart because of some failures, what you need to do is get alone with God, with a Bible, and maybe a good book on child rearing, and re-examine all your attitudes and chart yourself a clear course and get on it. That's what you need to do. Now, this is a blind spot. I asked these men and these women for blind spots, and this is a blind spot. Well, we didn't do too well, and we're not sure. Maybe we were too strict, and maybe we weren't strict enough, and it's kind of a not sure where we are. That's a deadly place to be. And the only thing that truly needs to be done is a good old heart-searching time before God, and stick with God's Word and all the principles in there, and rise up from that time alone with God with a new determination to guide those children in the right direction. Because that last child needs it just as much as the others. Number 6. And this number 6 came more out of mothers than fathers, but not always. But more out of mothers than fathers. We baby them. We babied the last child. We spoil them. We just kind of spoil the last one. Do you ever look up that word spoil? I looked it up once. I quit using it. Spoil means make rotten. Spoil means render ineffective. That's what spoil means. You hear grandparents say that. Oh, I just love the grandchildren. No responsibility. All I have to do is spoil them. Hey, don't say that around me. I won't bring my children around. If that's what you're going to do with my children, I don't want nobody spoiling them. I don't want anybody to make them rotten. Ineffective. Of no use, good to be thrown away. We spoil them. We told the older in spirit, grow up. But we told the younger, don't grow up. Don't grow up.
You know, we really do get that message to them too. Those first children, boy, we wanted them to grow up. Hey, you can be big like Daddy. You want to wear Daddy's shoes? Hey, we want you to grow up. Hey, you want to hold the hoe like Daddy does? Oh, listen, we were always motivating them to grow up.
But all of a sudden, when it begins to dawn on us, and this is more a problem with the mother than it is with the father, when it begins to dawn on us, this could very well be my last little baby. I'm going to make this baby stay a baby as long as I can. Don't do it. That seems like innocent motherhood, but that's deadly sorrow to that child. Don't you do it. Don't do it. One mother. It's our last baby. We want to hold it back. Babies are such a blessing. We want to hold it back. Don't hold it back. Can you imagine if you just follow that one little principle out? Here's one child. You're motivating that child. You've got him on the stretch. Come ahead. Grow up. Do this. Take your responsibilities. And this other child over here, you're holding him down. The result will be drastically different. We tend to favor them above the rest. And lastly, everyone waits on the last child. Everyone babies the last child. Everyone waits on him or her. I want milk. Here's your milk. I want a toy. Here's your toy. Don't do that. That's not how the first one's got a toy. Is it? You children, how'd you get your toy? May I please have a toy? Don't wait on those little ones, hand and foot. They need to learn how to be servants, not to be served when they grow up. Don't you be a servant to them, or they'll grow up thinking everybody should wait on them. And we want them to grow up and wait on everyone else. There's a different attitude there. Two more. And this is a real interesting one, and I don't know if we have a lot of problem with this here, but it is a problem in some places. Economics was brought up very often by these different families. When the other children were young, we couldn't afford anything. This was a blessing to them, but now we buy whatever the last child wants. When we had our first children, if we'd had the money, our heart would have said, let's buy them everything they want. But we didn't have the money, so we couldn't buy them whatever they want. And it turned out to be a blessing for them because they shouldn't get everything they want anyway. But with the last child, now we got lots of money. We're middle age. Our children are grown. They're helping support the family. I've been at a job for a long time. We're financially set, and we got plenty of extra money. What do you want? Here, I'll give it to you. And they said, that wasn't wise. We should have held our standard back the way it was when we didn't have any money for the other children. Because the other children, they learned how to make a scooter out of a piece of board and an old roller skate, and they learned how to make a wagon or a sled out of a piece of wood, a plywood, and put a string on it to pull it up the hill. That's the way they learn. They learned creativity. The little one, I want it. You get it. Just like that. That's not good. We need to be like we're poor, even though we're not poor, if you're that way. Here's another one. We had no money. They had to get by. But we get our little one just everything they want. And here's an interesting statement. One father said, even the older children complain to us and say, Daddy, you never let us do that. You never let us have all those things. Why do you let him have all those things? Hey, there's sometimes when the wisdom that comes out of our children, we need to bend our ear to it. Even the children rise up and say, that's not right. We didn't have all those things. Don't let him have them either. Economics. And lastly, the older children. Point number 8. The older children. And let me explain before I give the list of things that were said by the parents about their older children and their relationship with the younger child. Brother Denny doesn't expect you to know how to raise children. You're not grown up yet. But because you are a child in the family, you have all kinds of relationships with your brothers and sisters. I give this to everybody. I give it to you young children just for you to think about. I give it to moms and dads that they might ponder it, meditate on it, and give better direction to you in your relationship with the other children in your house. That's the only reason. But I have a dozen of them. There were a dozen points that were given to me concerning the older children. And I think this is very significant. Number one, the other children pity them. That hinders. The older ones spoil them. That hinders. The older ones teach them to show off by laughing at them. By laughing at them. What does a little 3-year-old do when you laugh at them? They do it again. They like to be laughed at. They like the attention. Have you ever heard your mother and father say, "Don't laugh now"? Have you ever heard that? Any of you children? "Don't laugh now. Don't laugh at him." One man said it this way. He said to his children, "We don't want to make a clown out of little Mark. We don't want him to think he's a performer and that everybody's just waiting for him to do something cute again." That looks cute when they're 2, but when they're 10, running around wanting everyone to look at them and listen to them and give them attention, that can be a real burden. They'll be a misfit. They'll be a misfit. Don't do that. The older children work the little child up. They work them up. Laugh with them, giggle with them, tickle them, chase them, get them to scream, laugh, roll around the floor, and get them all worked up. Then the little child gets in trouble for being too wild in the house. Here's another one. We found that the older children give their opinion on discipline, and it holds us back. Here's a parent talking. A child has done something. A parent has seen it. The parent discerns that there's a need for a spanking. But here's an older child standing there saying, I don't think we ought to spank him for that. That's an unwise thing to do. You know why? Because it's the hardest thing for a parent to spank the child anyway. And honestly, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for my wife to come and say, "Maybe we shouldn't this time." I mean, I'm just waiting for her to say it so I can say, "Yeah, I think you're right." It's just no fun to spank children. Don't be that way. Don't be that one that gives that opinion at that perfect time that stops your father or your mother from giving discipline to that small child. That small child needs it. God works by wisdom through mother and father to discipline that child. And if you're there and you get to see it all, God only lets you see it so that you could gain the insights for your own life when someday you'll be a mother or a father. God didn't give it to you so that you could say, "Not right. Not right now." And here's another. This is a repeat, but I'm giving the words. The older children laugh too much and they make the child perform because of their laughter. Here's another. Big brother means a whole lot to the child, and it's big brother or big sister. And the man said, "It behooves us that big brother and big sister be in order because you mean a whole lot to that little child." Here's another. The older children try to discipline the younger child, and it creates resentment in the heart of the child. God didn't give authority to a child to discipline another child, unless you may be 20 and you have a little baby there. I think that then God can transfer that authority, but many times If a older child tries to discipline a younger child, it never works. It creates resentment in that younger child's heart. And you, who are supposed to be the greatest friend they had, become an enemy because you disciplined. You don't want to do that. The older children influence the young child in the wrong way. Certainly that would be a case. Here's another. The parents direct the younger children to the children and are not close to them themselves. That's a danger, especially when you have about 8 or 9 children in the family and life is very busy. That's a real danger. To direct your child, this new child, to your other children in order to get your work done. My admonition on that is this. Be a wise planner. Be a wise planner. Direct the other work to your children. You raise the child. Direct the other work to the children and you raise the child. I believe that God had in mind for fathers and mothers to raise their children. And lastly, the older girls become like mama. And I know that that sounds real good. And I know that you older girls like that. But mama is supposed to be mama in the eyes of that child. Very clearly, if we take the insights and the principles of Scripture, mama is supposed to be mama. And you're supposed to be big sister. I know that there's something in you that wants to be a mama. And the fact that that child runs to you like you were a mama, I know that thrills your heart. And I'm not against all of that, but beware. Mama is supposed to be mama in the sight of that little child. So, those are all the things that I gleaned. I told Brother Moses this morning it was one of the most thrilling messages I ever prepared as these things came in and as I saw the patterns that they were taking, and they're clear. And I feel like that God is saying by this little message that here are some clear blind spots that seem to happen just about everywhere because of the circumstances of a big family, because of the circumstances of middle age, because of the circumstances of the last child, and all those circumstances working together. I feel like God is saying, here's some special wisdom that all these people have learned that you can glean from on your own. You don't have to learn it the hard way now. You can go home. And that's all I want you to do is just to go home and think on those things and meditate on them and keep them before your heart and view these things in your own home and see the workings of your own home and see if you don't see some of these things, some of these weak spots already. Maybe you see them already in a child. Maybe it's the last child and you see already some of those attitudes being developed in your own heart toward that last child that are not going to be good for the child. However, that was my only desire, just to give a simple, informative message. I know it's a lot of facts, I know it's not inspirational, but a lot of informative thoughts that you can go home and meditate on that will help a whole lot of children in this room, and maybe some that are yet to be born. And that was my desire. Shall we kneel for prayer?
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.